McIntyre with Wham. Lord, you'd be with each of these entities. You would bless them, bless their ministry, the soul would be saved and Christian strengthened through it. Guide us now as we continue to worship and praise you this morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd please stand again, if you are able to do so. Turn your hymnals to hymn number 365. 365. Close to Thee. We will sing all three verses. James 4:8 states the following. Come close to God, and He will come close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Let's raise our voices together. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend or life to me. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. All along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Not for riches or worldly pleasure, nor for fame my prayer shall be. Gladly all I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with Thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, to Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee. Then the gate of life eternal, may I enter, Lord, with Thee. You may be seated.
Well, let's get into God's Word here this morning. We are going through the Epistle of James, James chapter 1. Remember what we were looking at last week. We were looking at the fault of temptation. We're looking in through James chapter 1 and continuing with verse 18. But last week we looked at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, we looked at three main areas. Number one was with the fault of temptation, don't be surprised by it. Expect it. Expect it to happen. You know, make sure you have your guard up. Number two, don't be confused by it. Understand it. Satan is the author of confusion. And if he can confuse us, then he has us trapped. Number three, don't be deceived by it. Stand up to it and be blessed. So we look at this and we're saying to ourselves, Lord, how can any kind of fault come by? Well, usually we're the ones at fault if we're honest with ourselves. We have to look at ourselves. We're part of a situation. Looked at this last week, and we're part of that problem, and we need to deal with it. And the best way to do is stand up to it, believe this happened, get it under the blood. If we gave in to temptation, remember, God has it as a blessing. Every perfect gift that cometh from above, people think about that. We looked at that too last week, how people think, well, those are all good things. No, it's referring to trials and tribulations. Remember, trials are what we go through in this life. Tribulations is because of the cursed world we live in. Everything is cursed. We need to pray for Israel. And, you know, it says in the Bible, God will bless those that bless thee, Israel, and he will curse those that curse thee, Israel. We need to pray that the prime minister will continue to do what he's going to do, because there's still 137 hostages being held by the terrorists in Palestine. And what's going on is they're not willing to release them. That is why Israel's continuing with this war. The media, for the most part, has completely forgotten about that. It's amazing. But pray for Israel, for the peace thereof. They are standing up to it, and remember, they're still God's people. Remember, as we looked in Revelation, we're going through Sunday school, we're at the time of the Gentiles. And then once the rapture happens, God's going to turn his grace to what? Israel. So remember, you need to pray for the peace of Israel, Psalms 122, I think it's verse 6, and be blessed by it. So the church is not out of the picture yet. And this is why James is writing this. And this is a lot of expositors believe this is the very first epistle, just like Job was the very first book of the Bible. They believe this is the very first book in the New Testament. But they had problems back in that day, like we do today. So I entitled this, A Teachable Spirit. I hope that we all do have a teachable spirit, because we need that. We're going to look at some examples in the Old Testament and so on and so forth, give some practical application here this morning. So let's start off in verse 18. Remember, it's a continuation of verses 13 and down to 17. It says here that let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted, verse 13. By God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when his desires conceive, he gives birth to sin. When sin is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of heavenly lights, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Now, we went through all this last week. So everything that God allows to happen, like we said in the book of Revelation or in Revelation chapter 12, remember, when Christ died on the cross, this is important to know, when he died on the cross, he took away all the powers of the devil. He took everything away, the keys to death, hell, and the grave, okay? He took away that power because he was given dominion on this earth because of Adam and Eve lost their birthright. They lost their birthright in the Garden of Eden, and therefore Satan took over the control of the earth as it was. Remember, God and his power and his grace. So you had that happen, and then you, of course, have God coming, and he died on the cross. He died on the cross. He took away all the power of Satan. If you look there in Revelation, and in Revelation chapter 12, God allows Satan, gives him power once the tribulation starts. Gives him power to do what he's doing. And what am I trying to say here, folks, is that God's in control of everything. And just be thankful that no matter what happens, you think, oh, the enemy's winning. No, they're not. God's allowing that to happen for your benefit. for your benefit, for your prosperity, and the gospel. Okay? So God wants to bless us, take care of us, and he's doing that now. So he allows the trials and tribulations to happen in our lives. So look forward to it, but remember, God wants to bless. Verse 18 says, his own will, he brought us there and no he brought his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, thank God. There's a couple things in this verse here. Number one, it's his will that he brought us through this. So, now, how do we have a teachable spirit? We realize, Lord, let your will be done. Number two, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So, when we are learning, we need to be taught by truth. And then number three, we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And I'm often reminded, too, of the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. When you have from that fruit of God's Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, you have love, which is we get our word agape, which is an unconditional, selfless type of love in us. Remember, it dwells in us. Okay? And then we have from that love comes joy. And that's a sense of well-being when God's in control. When God's in control, we are being taught by God that, you know, everything's going to be okay. Remember that song, everything's okay in my Father's house. Everything's okay in my Father's house. There will be joy, joy, joy. That was an old hymn sung by the old preachers many years ago. And it still rings true in my heart. Never gets old. Number three, in the fruit of the Spirit, there is peace. That means to bind together or weave, that he gives us the freedom from trouble, and he gives us wholeness and soundness. So when we have peace, when there's peace, when there's that going on, when you know, there's other songs that come to mind, when trials and tribulations come along, when peace flows like a river, you know, that song there. Then there's patience, another fruit of the Spirit that God gives us in us, that teaches us. That means to be carrying a heavy load that we have on us. And there are many people here today who have a heavy load. It's very heavy. But yet, God gives us the grace to bear it. And bless you all, because God knows what you're going through and so many countless other people. But remember, Jesus bore that cross for us. And we have our crosses today. So we need to be teachable in that area. And then we see also gentleness. It means to be kind, useful, helpful, considerate, no matter what circumstances. I've seen so much kindness here in this congregation. So many, you know, we have fun sometimes poking, making fun of each other and laughing and all. But, you know, there's that kindness, you know, love. It's not being mean or trying to tear somebody down. We're here to build each other up, and we're very thankful that we're like family here today, that we're being good to one another within our expectations. We're trying to please the Lord as being Christ-like and in love. And then, of course, there's goodness. That means in the fruit of the Spirit, being teachable in that, full of virtue, excellence, kindness, helpfulness, peace, consideration. I like what John Wesley said about goodness. He says, we can do all the good that we can by all the means that we can, in all the ways we can, at all times that we can, to all the people we can, as long as we can. So we're just trying to do good. Trying to do good when there's so much wrong and evil in this world. Then the next teachable spirit to have also is faithfulness. You know, some people have nicknamed in the back of my mind, oh, there goes Faithful. You know, they're always there. They're always doing what you expect, you know, within reason. And faithfulness is being trustworthy, loyal, steadfast, devoted, enduring, and denying oneself. And you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it because you experience that joy. I say, Lord, I got a teachable spirit. You're showing me today. I may not be book smart, or I may not be some of these people that are naturally intelligent that, you know, they're sitting there, they're real quiet, and they can replay everything you just said, you know, because they're really good hearers, and they're really a blessing to be around. And they're very quiet, but they're fun, exciting to be around. And then there's meekness, another teachable spirit, to be gentle, tender, humble, mild, considerate, even balanced and tempered. I could go on and not willing to get revenge. And in other words, somebody had told me years ago, meekness is strength under control. You got it under control. It's okay. You know, you're not bouncing all over the place. You're not getting in trouble. You know, so, and then also we see that there's temperance. It's King James says temperance, but New King James says self-control, which is to master control of the body of the flesh. And so that's a toughie right there, because you're allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you what to deal with those issues that we all have in the flesh, which we try to keep it under control and let God suppress that. Somebody said a long time ago in these revival meetings, he said when the Holy Spirit came, you could sense a heaviness on our hearts, and we realized how wrong we've been, how much that we need to repent. And they, you know, and I'm not talking about the circus clowns out there today, preachers and people. There was some people in Milwaukee not long ago, I'm never mentioned their names, but they said, why don't you come on out for a faith healing and, you know, and get God's to heal you from your physical problems. Well, you know, in my book, I have never seen that happen for real. I've seen God over a period of time heal people, but not in a matter of fact that with that. So God is in the business of teaching us to depend on Him for everything. So going back here to verse 18, so we are kind of first fruits of His creatures. So people are going to see the Holy Spirit working in us, you know? And what kind of joy is that? That's just wonderful. God is like a fresh rain out there, and, you know, just to refresh us. He gives us rain, you know, for so many reasons. And it's a blessing, helps us to grow things out there. And God wants us to have a teachable spirit for us to grow in His grace and knowledge. So as we're moving along here, and so number one, verse 19 says here, to be quick to hear God's word. I want to be quick to hear. And it says here, and it just tells you exactly what it means. It says, therefore, verse 21, it says here, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which was able to save your soul. So, the idea of here of laying aside all filthiness, it has the idea of taking off that old person that you've had, that old garment, and putting on the new garment, Jesus Christ. So like when you dress in the morning, you want to dress fresh. You don't want to wear the same old clothes you wore yesterday, no. You wear the Lord Jesus. And if you had problems the other day, you know what? You put on those new clothes. Put on Christ. And, you know, it can make a whole difference in your life. And then also, you see here that the overflow of wickedness has the idea of moral filthiness, pure and holy affections, of vileness, depravity. It has the idea there of all those things in the world. The world cannot teach you what Christ teaches you. If you get around, what, worldly people, if you're not careful, you start becoming like them, right? They're teaching you something that in your conscience you don't realize that you start picking up things. And you're like, I don't want to be like that, you know? I don't want to be like those guys at work that talk behind my back. I don't want to be like that. I'll just stay out of the picture. I'll just lay low, you know? And has the idea of just, you know, the missiles and the darts and the arrows are flying above your head. I don't do anything with that. I don't have to prove anything. I already taken good care of my family, my children. I'm taking care of the God's house. I'm doing everything I can. I don't want to be part of that. Even though it might look good, very competitive. And here in the United States, people teach themselves to be very competitive. There's nothing wrong with soccer games and football games and all that, okay? But it comes a difference when the world is teaching us something different. And also in the King James, and it doesn't have this in the New King James, but they have the word naughtiness, as a sin that is deliberate and determined. So you might have a sin. God is saying, stay away from that. You know, it's real easy to go to the candy store, right? And the doctor says, no candy. And it's real easy to walk by and say, oh, boy, you know, it's okay. Just look at it. Well, that's the first fault. You're looking at it. Don't stop looking at it. So one friend of mine says, you can look once, but don't look twice. So you look and you're like, oh, boy, that looks good. And then, okay, you need to move on. Give thanks. Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm thankful that other people can what? Enjoy that, right? But it's wrong. It's like, when, oh, you know what? I'm looking at, you know, I'll go in. I'll see what the price is just for the fun of it. And then you're flirting with sin. Then the snake is slowly curling around you, okay? And then when you bought it, you're like, oh, and then he's bitten you. Oh, I bought it. I better eat it because I don't want to waste food. Isn't it easy to rationalize how the world teaches us to get into sin? And you're like, I thought I was so strong in that area. No, you deliberately, we deliberately step into the muck, the poop, so to speak. You need to stay away from it. If it stinks, it stinks. Stay away from it. So the world teaches us that. So, and then, of course, we need to keep also in verse 21 the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. So it's grafted into us. Okay, remember the church was engrafted, it says in the Old Testament, the mystery, because the church was never mentioned in the Old Testament. It was a mystery, like it says in Ephesians chapter 4, until Christ died on the cross. And then as time went on, then the church started at Pentecost. But you have the church that's been engrafted into that tree, and here we are today. Now, I have to look at it as an example here in the Old Testament. Remember Josiah. Josiah, he was a king who just started his ministry, believe it or not, when he was just 8 years old. And it's interesting, if you look in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 29 through 31, I'll read it to you here. It says, and when the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, the king went up to the house of the Lord with all his men of Judah and the inhabitants in Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. I'm going to tell you a story about Josiah, because he was a man that actually grew up as a kid, as a king, very young king, started out when he was 8 years old, and actually he went on, and they found in the temple Moses' book. And it's amazing, because once they found it, they were like, oh, it's been years since they studied what was going on. And also they found money in the temple. So they were able to rebuild the temple back in 2 Chronicles 34. And then they realized that there was the wrath of God, because they forgot. The people of God forgot. It's interesting, because a lot of us today, we forget. Honestly, there's two types of forgetfulness. One, you honestly forget, like, I know where I put my brush, now I can't find it. Oh, it's right there, right in front of me the whole time walking around. That's one thing. It's an innocent forgetfulness. Another one is deliberate. You're like, oh, I don't want to hear it, forget it, I'm walking away from this. That type of person does not have a teachable spirit. And then, of course, we saw that what Josiah did is he decided to go out and what? Destroy the idols in the land. Rebuild the temple. Get things right with God. Get his covenant with his God right. You know, we need our covenant right with God. We do. And if we fail, it's okay. And having a teachable spirit, we need to go back and get things right that we might have forgotten, maybe on purpose. But they were able to keep the Passover and the feast. But Josiah had one problem. Remember, he did what was right in the Lord's eyes. Remember, it says in Chronicles, it says that they read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant. And so they were hearers, but then there was that deliberate sin. And at the end of this chapter, Josiah had gone to the king of Egypt, who was out for war with the king of Charismish. And the king of Egypt says, you know, your God is telling you, and God can use unsaved people sometimes. It's interesting. He says, your God told you to go back and not fight this battle that I'm with the king of Charismish. Apparently, the king of Charismish had issues with both Egypt and Judea. But Josiah did not listen. And what happened? What happened to us? If we disobey, we reap what we sow, right? Now, God's forgiving and God can bless. We move on and put the past behind us. But God was very angry with Josiah and he was killed. He was killed. Because some people have told me in the past, greater the light, greater the judgment. Greater the light, greater the judgment. Some people disagree with me on that. But he knew better. And he knew going into battle, okay, you can get killed. But he didn't take it seriously. He decided to take things in his own hands. So he was not, therefore, having a teachable spirit. So that's an example there found in Second Chronicles. Then as we move on, going back here to James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. So number one, we need to be a quick hearer of God's word. And number two, we need to be a doer of the word. In verse 22, but be doers of the word. Okay, it has the idea of somebody performing something, doing something, and not just hearer only. It has the idea of people just being in the audience. Now, there's a time to hear and there's a time to do. Only deceiving yourselves. So if you're just doing one or the other, you're just, you know, deceiving yourself. You need to be both. If anyone is just a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. And for when he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He has the idea of somebody, look, we can all forget, I got that, but sometimes we get distracted, and we're doing something we completely forget. And God's saying, look, you need to remember what kind of person you are, because we're all different from one another, but we're all made up of different things in life that make us who we are. God has biologically has created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, like it says in Psalms 139. But God has taken this life, our precious life that he died for, and he doesn't want us to forget who we are. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues there in it will not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. It has the idea of somebody bending down, looking closely into the word. You know, sometimes we have to bend over to see something, or we need a light or something to shine to make the words clearer, more understandable, so we can see the black and white on a page. And God wants that to be a reflection of our life. But what happens if we become a forgetful hearer? There are some examples here of, and then we can also, because of that, forget God's word. And because of that, we can become non-teachable. And we can become interruptive and dominating the conversation. There's nothing more rude than that. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he said something, remember they said, no one has ever taught like this before. Who is this man? We don't understand him. But Jesus had something to say. People listen. And most of the time, Jesus didn't say anything unless it was time for him to say something. It's always a good thing to follow Christ and his example. Number two, about a non-teachable spirit, being easily provoked or lashing out. Don't want to be around somebody who's got a short temper, who thinks that, you know, they're right and you're wrong about everything. They're patronizing. You don't want to be around them. Best way to do it is just ignore them. Just, you know, go on your way. Don't even hang around with them because they're always looking for something. Number three, gossiping or telling tales. Okay, so a non-teachable spirit will be somebody who will make up lies and stories and think, oh, my life's not good enough. I got to get into somebody else's life or I need to tell a bunch of lies. And then there's criticizing and complaining. We all have to be careful. We're not on the other end of the stick with that. Because remember, God's ways are higher than our ways. To have a teachable spirit, we have to let things flow the way they are. Yes, we may want to say something. We may not agree with something. But you know what? Let it go. Let this peace of God rule in your minds. Let your flesh be under control. Okay, that temperance. Okay, self-control. The peace of God that weaves in our heart. And you know what? You'll look back at it a few weeks, a month later, and you'll see, you know what? God was in control. I'm glad I kept my mouth shut. And Lord, please forgive me. And you know what? You're allowed to do what you're going to do. Then you see number five, judging or condemning others. And I always like to say about having a teachable spirit that we have a loving, discerning heart, not a judging, looking for areas that think we're right and they're wrong, because we're going to be judged by what we say. And like it says that in James chapter 3. So we need to be a doer of the word. One example here, I have another one, is from Daniel. Daniel, remember, he was the chief counselor to King Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he was taken into that captivity and with Babylon. And remember, he would not eat the king's meat or delicacies. And remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remember, they were all, those four together, and they did what was right in God's sight. And God honored that. And remember, King Nebuchadnezzar had that dream. And King Nebuchadnezzar wanted it to be taught. This is my point is, sometimes with the unsaved, we teach them things and let God get the glory. Well, you remember, it was that vision of the idol that there was. And remember that the King Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, I'm going to go around and I'm going to kill all the wise men because nobody knows. Nobody can tell me what. There's two things. One, tell me what the dream was and then interpret it. And even today, I don't think anybody could ever or has ever done that. But Daniel, who had a teachable spirit, and, you know, he was willing to listen to, it works both ways, listen to the king, and he gave the interpretation. And he spared some of the wise men's lives, the astrologers and the sorcerers and those people, because they didn't know the God of the Bible. And what happened was is that Daniel said, you know what, king, this is what really happened. The king listened. But remember, there was also other dreams that king had. And it's interesting that God, my point is, God can take the unsaved, and you might be able to interpret. I'm not saying about their dreams and all that. I'm not going there. But you might have something to teach unsaved people that they didn't know. And one of the ways, this is the fruit of the Spirit. And one of the ways is your wisdom. You're like, oh, I thought he was a religious nut. I didn't know who he was, but yeah, this guy makes sense, or this woman makes sense. So, and remember with King Nebuchadnezzar, he gave glory to God. He said after all was done, after God pronounced judgment on him later on in the book of Daniel, and after 7 years, he looked up into heaven and he gave glory to God. I believe the man was saved. I believe he had a teachable spirit because God had to bring him down. Sometimes God brings us down to look up. And so that's what's going on there with Daniel. Daniel had to learn, and, you know, it works both ways. We work having a teachable spirit, and also we can teach. So it says here and going on, so, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing the natural face in the mirror, and observes himself and goes away immediately and forgets what kind of man he was. And he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues there in it, that's the word of God, and is not forgetful, but a hearer, but a doer of the word. And we see the third area here that we be a one who believes, who practices pure religion. So if we're going to have a teachable spirit, we're going to teach a pure religion. And what that is that people who claim to be religious, who go out to do rituals, liturgies, routines, and ceremonies. I mean, every church has that. You go to churches, but, you know, one thing I look for is a doctrine, is the word of God. Okay, is the doctrine right? Number two, when I go in that church, am I sensing the spirit of God? And then number three, I'm looking at everybody. I'm observing from the pulpit all the way back if I'm visiting someplace. And Lord, please give me discernment. Sometimes I've been in good places, sometimes I've been in bad places. And God has taught me. So you see here too that verse 26, if any among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue and deceives his own heart. So it has the idea of that bridle being there to hold back what you're going to say, to check it and keep it under control. And so that's used in horses and so on and so forth to keep it under control. And then we see here that if he doesn't control it, he deceives his own heart. This one's religion is useless. So in other words, if you're not living it, if you're just talking about it and you're not living it, then you deceive your own self. Remember working there at a boys' home for 2 years, working with kids from about 12 up to 18 that were sex abusers, drug addicts, you name it. They were all kinds of problems, okay? And their parents had given up on them. And I remember Kimberly and I were just like, you know what? We need to live Christ. So we started a Bible study with them. And thank God some of them got saved. God saved them. We didn't. We were faithful to the Lord. But these kids, not all of them, but these kids came from such warped backgrounds. And God got a hold of some of them. For the most part, you never do get a hold of them. A lot of them just go back to their life, go back to their old life. I talked to one guy who worked at this agency. He's been there for 30 years. He goes, yeah, most of them just go right back to what they were doing, right back to what they call home. It's kind of sad because the state can't do everything. Obviously, they give you the tools to work with, but we did what we could do, praise God. So unless we live it and work it, it's useless. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion is this, before God the Father, is to visit the orphans and widows who are in trouble. So, and to keep unspotted from the world. So looking at Christ, Jesus did all kinds of things throughout the Gospels. He visited those who were widows. He visited those who were in trouble. He healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. He did things so much like no man has ever done before. And because he was showing people that he was God in the flesh. He loved people. Not only that, he was a servant to the Father. And he did his Father's will. And likewise, we are servants today. We should be doing his will. We can't do the things that Jesus did. For some areas, of course not. But he gives us the power of love. And he gives us power to do things that we have never done before in our lives through his help. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 19 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. That's Jesus. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And we would, and we could if we would, on this Memorial Day, we think about Jesus as our memorial. He is the one who laid down his life for us so that we could have, by faith, what? Salvation through the cross, through death, burial, and resurrection. He is our memorial. He is our spiritual memorial as well. But whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And then, of course, that's referring to if you see a need and you sense God's leading, then that could very well be, not all the times, but it could very well be constitute a call by God, by you, to help that person or whatever. And many of you have here done that. And it's been a real blessing to others. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Interesting, indeed. Indeed, we need to know the truth, but also we need to apply that to everyday living. So verse 19, and by this we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. That's 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. So the assurance of our hearts, we know that we're doing the right thing within reason. And so God wants to bless us. He wants us to have a teachable spirit. And so I just got here about 12 areas as we close to have a teachable spirit. Number one is to have humility toward one another. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, you are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself with all of you with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I love that. Because we need grace all the time. We need it when we leave here, go out throughout the day. We need his grace. Christ's riches at his expense. Then we see number two, whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Proverbs 12:1 says, whosoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof, as one interpretation put it, is stupid. So we want to be able to teach those and help those and bring those up from stupidity, and we want to discipline them and love and in knowledge. Number three, have a teachable spirit to give instruction to a wise man, and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. So we want to be wise in the Lord. We want to continue to grow, to learn, to understand. And our best example is Jesus Christ, of course. Number four, 2 Timothy 2:2, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So we have been trusted with the gospel. And I know some of you teach others at home. This is what you need to do. They're not getting it from out there. That's why, you know, one of the vehicles out there has verses all over it. Because I do it on purpose. Because some people, especially the young ones, they stop and they look. What's that? You know, what does that mean? A lot of them have no inkling, except for a few pretty churches. We have over 30 of them here in this area, and you're all from different areas. But then some of them just drive by, and some parents never take them to church. They have no idea. Maybe Easter and Christmas. So we'll be religious. Then fifthly, you have a teachable spirit. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. So listen to it, accept it, especially if you've been wrong. For wise, we're like, oh, okay. You know, and a person loves you, they will understand and not criticize you and make fun of you. Of course, I don't know. I don't know everything, you know. Number six, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being priests to me. That was Israel. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. You know what? That could happen here with the church today. You know, if we forget God's word, I will guarantee you, I've seen churches closed down. I've seen churches built up. The one thing, just like with Josiah, they forgot. and they had a wonderful temple, and they had all this. How do people walk away? It's real easy. They get filled with themselves. They, you know, it's, history repeats itself. They're on fire for the Lord, and then the next day they're like, oh, that was good. For those who aren't saved, said that was a good feeling. For those who are saved, are like, there was a change in my life. Oh, wow, I'm not like I was before. And those who just had a feeling are just like talking and living off the old days. You can't do that. You got to press on. 2 Timothy 3:2, without God, without the teachable spirit, says this, for people will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy. And I think this doesn't go for today, but I think it goes everywhere in our school systems, out in our universities. People have lost the love of God in their lives, and what's happening is we're seeing we're starting to reap this in our society. Number eight, a few more here, 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brethren, so there's an urgency, admonish the idle. That means correct them. Say, you need to do something. You're not doing anything. Encourage the faint-hearted. In other words, don't collapse. Don't, you know, look, I know some people that are afraid of blood. They don't like the sight of blood. I respect it, but it's talking about to encourage, be strong-hearted, you know. Take a stand. Help the weak. Be there to help them out when they're hurting. And then be patient with them all. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. We just have a few more. It says, Ecclesiastes 4:13, to have a teachable spirit. Better was a poor and wise youth, listen to this, than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. In other words, that old foolish king was what? Full of pride. Thought he had all the answers. Nobody else did. It's the way it was done. It's the way I was brought up. But you know what? The wise youth who was poor, was wise to it and understood, and, you know, the beginning of the Lord is what, the wisdom of the Lord is what, the fear of the Lord, right? So no matter how old we are, how young we are, we need to always take that advice. And a few more here and I'm done. Psalms 143:10 says, teachable spirit, teach me to do your will, and you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. In other words, to see straight ahead. In other words, you're not going to be concerned about those hills, those valleys, and so on and so forth. You know that they're there, but God gives you that vision, that spiritual vision, to see right through it. And then the last one, Psalms 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. So we have to unite our hearts with truth. And we're going to be taught. We want to be taught with the truth. There's nothing worse than having to teach somebody who's been in a false teaching. And I'm going to close with this. I remember years and years ago, my youth pastor and I got a call. Well, he got a call. And he asked me to come along. It's one of my teachable moments. And she's the mother said, you know, my daughter has been going to this church. They called it a church. We found out what it was later on. I'm not going to mention it. But apparently, they had this child totally brainwashed. And the mother said, you know, they come to my house all the time, these people. And it was a cult. And, you know, always be wary. Keep your eyes on your young ones. Don't think out of sight, out of mind. I got one in Tennessee. I'm still keeping an eye on her. I got one in Massachusetts. I'm still keeping an eye on him. They're doing great, but you know what? The cults are out there, and they teach lies. So anyway, my youth pastor and I went. He got in there, and this is a true story. He literally went into the room. He was a big guy. I love Pastor Earl. And he was twice as big as I am. He still is. But he went into that circular area of seats, and there she was. And the mother says, you have my permission, Earl, to grab her respectively and discreetly. And he looked at me and he says, Alan, do you want to grab one arm? And I'll grab the other. And I said, okay, as long as I don't get in trouble. So I trusted the guy. You know, he never did me wrong. He's a great guy. We actually had to pick her up out of the seat. And I had to get the door, and we had to almost drag, not by her hair, but just dragging her along out the door, literally. And these people are like, you can't do that. And he stopped. He goes, we got written permission. Remember that? Written permission that we can take her. And we put up, he drove the car. And I remember I was in the back seat keeping an eye on her. And it happened so quick. Probably if he had to do it again, probably should have had a woman come with us too. Probably would have been better. But it happened so quick. She goes, help my baby. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so he called me. We took care of her. It took her about a couple of years, but apparently they came up to the church grounds. They drove up and started talking with her after church. That's how they do things. And you have to be real careful that people have a willing, a teachable spirit and are being taught the wrong things. So I think we got the gist of the story here. Remember, Jesus Christ loves you. And remember, have that teachable spirit. Hide God's word in your heart. And be blessed to God this week. And let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is sure, unchangeable, loving. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for a teachable spirit. We just pray that, Lord, that people will come to know you and be taught the truth. And, Lord, they will know the difference between right and wrong. Lord, we pray for our young people today. Lord, they're lost. And, you know, not just part of, you don't need part of the truth. You need the whole truth. 99% truth and 1% lie makes it all contaminated. We just thank you for your word is truth. And we take peace and comfort. Pray that we'll be guardians. We'll be hawks. Keep an eye out over our families and loved ones, Lord. And let not the enemy come into our camp and camp out with us, Lord. We have nothing to do with that. We just pray, Lord, we'll continue to seek you first in the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And pray online for those, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, Lord, you can believe in by faith what I'm talking about here. You can come out to church sometime if you're not church. And I'd be happy to talk to you. Anybody here, Lord, would love to talk to you. And if you're online listening on this, Lord, that you would pray that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. In Jesus' name we pray by faith through his blood. Amen.